About 35 years ago, at the Knesset Gedola, the Beis Yisrael of Gad said a very, very interesting thing. He said that what happens is that every so often in the Shemayim, every so often in the heavens, they open up these special pipes, and certain extra things are brought into the world in a greater amount than they've ever been before. And Rav Shaul said that at the late 1800s, it was the tzinoros of Chochma that were opened. And he said, unfortunately, it wasn't Klal Yisrael that went to grab the Chochma which was opened then, which was easier to come to them because of these open tzinoros, these open pipes. But it was the Golem who took it, and the result was that that's why science suddenly made leaps and tremendous jumps in science. All started happening then because the tzinoros were opened, and rather than us taking it for Torah, the Umasai and the nations of the world took it, and therefore science suddenly grew in such tremendous amounts. So the Beis Yisrael says, this is in 72, 73, I don't remember exactly the date was, he says there that now what's happened is that the tzinoros of tshuva have opened in the Shemayim. It is easier now to do tshuva than any time before. And a terrible thing happened. It was only the chilonim, it was only the secular who went to grab the tshuva, and it wasn't the rest of us. But Noach, he didn't take from those tzinoros that opened. He took the tzinor itself, and like a fireman, he knew how to aim it. He took it and he shot it in the directions where it had to go. It was at that same time when I first got to know Rebbe Nachman Tzedakah, 35 years. And some of the things which he did at the time seemed so strange, so unusual, it was hard to understand. There was a certain program that had happened in Yerushalayim, and a few of us were able to like sneak in and get a bissel Yiddishkeit into the program. It was for kids from secular kibbutzim. And what happened was that one of the people who was there, one of the girls who was there, was the daughter of Amos Oz, one of the Gor Groyser from their chad. And it really went well. The program went well. So what happened was we wanted to continue. We wanted there to be a Hamshech. And the Hamshech would mean that we would go to the kibbutz. They were in Yerushalayim for the few days, so they were allowed to see this ancient Jewish religion, that there are still a few people who follow it, and we would now come to the kibbutz. And they weren't going to let. They were afraid, chas v'shalom, God forbid, we might have some hashpah on them. So we went for Eitzes, and one of the people we went for an Eitzes was Turib Noach. This is pure guesswork, but it's a pshat that's bothered me for many years, and I always thought that somehow maybe this was something like which Reb Noach had followed, because many of the tzitzis of what he did were definitely the result. Hakol kol yankif, vayedayim yidei Esav. I think part of the pshat in that pasuk is that the voice of Yaakov in the hands of Esav, the part of the pshat is that if you want the voice of Yaakov to be heard, you have to sometimes use the hands of Esav. That there's only a certain way that you can get into certain places. And a ganef, if he can't get in the front door, so he tries going in the back door. So I had a very close chaver from yeshiva, Mordechai Gedold. And Mordechai had an idea. There was a very, for those of you who are getting on like I am, there was a very, very big cult movie at that time. 2001, A Space Odyssey. And Mordechai somehow learned pshat into that movie on such a level that there were so many yesodos of Yiddishkeit in it. We even actually wrote. He wrote taka to Arthur C. Clarke, the author of the book upon which the movie was based, and the author taka said that he cut some of the points. He taka was right on some of the points. And the idea was that we weren't going to the kibbutz now to speak about Yiddishkeit. We were going to go to the kibbutz and we were going to explain a movie. And not just a movie, but a cult movie. If we would have come and spoke about Yiddishkeit that morning, the result of it would have been maybe they would have let us speak to the kids for an hour. The program went for 10 hours. Mamish, 10 hours Beit Sefer. The kids didn't break for lunch, for anything else. Then after the fact, so after Mordechai had already encouraged Mordechai, and I actually have with me the, I brought with me, I have it back here, yes, some of the papers of how we used the movie and everything then. So afterwards, we were a little bit nervous, you know, really, should we be using this type of a thing, right? It's a Hollywood movie and everything, right? So the first thing is that the very fact that Rav Nachman said it was okay was already enough to know that it was okay. But Lemaisa, afterwards, he sent us to Rav Chaim Kanevsky, also for Psak, and then we knew. We got from Chaim a Psak that it was 100% okay. And we started using that as a method of going to places that wouldn't let us come in to talk about Yiddishkeit. We're coming to talk about the movies. And for that, doors were open left, right, and center. And this was part of the insight that Ramana had. So I once asked, when I was learning by Rabbi Yomin HaTzadik, Rabbi Yomin HaZilber, the Osnid Baruch, I had seen something up in Yeshiva which seemed a little bit modern, according to some of the things which I had been learning at that particular time. So the swarm that I was going in, that according to Talmidei Agra, a certain Anhaga, which was on the Yeshivas, was not Lefi the Ruach from the Goyim. It was very, very clear, Lefi Anhaga's Agra, that particular Zach which was going on the Yeshivas wasn't. So Rabbi Yomin, who was a Richtik in the Vardiker, but Mamish, a real Richtik in the Vardiker, and everything automatically has to be turned into aspects of the big Muchama, which is constantly going on. So I said to Rabbi Yomin, how is it that the Yeshivas do this particular thing when we see that the Goyin was very against it, and tell me that Goyin were against it? So Rabbi Yomin tells me as follows. He says that when a soldier first learns how he's supposed to act in time of war, so he's given instructions, this is what you do in this case, this is what you do in this case, and this is what you do in this case. And then what happens is that it comes to the practical time when he actually has to go to the war. So Rabbi Yomin HaTzadik said that there are four possibilities of what happens. The soldier follows exactly the rules that he was told, and the result of it is that he's successful, so he gets a medal. He goes and he's not successful, he doesn't get punished because he followed the rules. These were the rules he was taught, and this is what he did. He did what he was supposed to do, and that's it. And if he doesn't win, he doesn't win. And that's it. He breaks the rules and he's not successful, he gets court-martialed. He breaks the rules and is very successful, then they have to look aside at the fact that he broke the rules, and they have to be mekabel, and they have to accept him that Hitaka did the right thing. So Rabbi Yom was saying in this particular case that in the yeshivas, that even though this is not really as a parsha according to halacha, but the fact of the matter was that the yeshivas were finding that this particular union was successful, and therefore this is the way they were supposed to go with it. Rabbi Noach always knew and always repeated that we're talking about a major mechuma. That what's going on is that there is a nituk, there is a break that hadn't happened in generations, anything like this. Just remember, Taka, Shlomo Volber once said, Pshat, he was saying a shmuz and everything, it was in Pirkei Avos. So he says that most people start with Pirkei Avos, with the parak itself. So he said, B'shem Rabbi Yeruchim. He said that Rabbi Yeruchim said that you can't start Pirkei Avos if you don't first understand Moshe Kibbol Torah Messina and Moshe Yeshua. If you don't understand that yesod of the union of the giving over from generation to generation, he says the rest of Pirkei Avos is worthless. You have to start with the yesod of Moshe Kibbol Torah Messina and Moshe Yeshua. And when we're in a door that most kids don't know who their grandfathers were and definitely don't know who their great-grandfathers were, and that chain, that Messiah, which was always there, is completely broken, then we see what the Tetzaris are. We see what they are. To quote just a couple of lines that I remember from over the years from home. Ignorance, apathy, and assimilation are the three greatest threats to Klal Yisrael. And something which was said already earlier, we heard Rav Nach himself say it in the film, that a holocaust of the spirit and soul is great as the show, as great a tragedy as the show itself is. We are losing more neshamas than we are gaining. We're in trouble. We have to wake up. And if we have to use some of these methods, which are the Yadayim Yedei Esav, so be it. If that's the way we're going to gut in, so be it. And you should know, the movie was tremendously maslech, places that we never thought we would have gotten into, we were able to get into. And the push that he gave to Mordechai Gedul to put together the whole work and everything was absolutely fantastic. But there was another aspect also, and that was the fact that Reb Noach was mekabel b'seva panim yofos cases, which were, to my mind, there was a particular program that had come into Yerushalayim, and I was talking supposed to organize for them the aspects of Yadus that they were going to do, and I asked Reb Noach to be one of the people on the panel. And by the way, that's also a very important thing you have to understand about Reb Noach. Dafkin, the areas that I was working in, there were a number of times when there was a necessity that they would only come b'tanai on condition that there was a panel. They didn't want a single speaker. That would be 3-4 people sitting on the front so that they could get different viewpoints. What's the Hebrew expression? Rov goniyot b'Yisrael, right? Different viewpoints they had to hear. It wasn't acceptable if it was only one. All right. So a number of times I went to certain major people in Yerushalayim to come and to talk about it, and nearly in all cases it was, who else is sitting at the table? But from Noach understanding that what we were talking about was Kiruv Levavos to Avinu Shebashamayim, never once asked me who else was on the table with him. And there were others who might have stopped. They stopped coming because of who was not Reb Noach. So one last maisha, just understand, and it was one of the things which I couldn't understand by Reb Noach. We have this group, and this guy comes up to the front. He wants to ask, based on some of the things that had been said during the talk, he wants to come and he wants to hear a bit of this particular thing that he wants to know about. And he comes up to the front, and right away I notice there's a little bit of an interesting thing going on here. He has tzitzis, and in the tzitzis he has what he'd think is tchelis, but he also has a yarmulke on his head. Okay? One of these biblical things. You know, he's doing biblical Judaism. And when I saw guys like that, I am telling you, it just used to churn by me inside. Yeah? How you're being mevayish, my religion, yeah? You're not being a kabbal, yeah? The first tshuva in the Gris Moshe is not on yarmulkes, yeah? That's you're not the kabbal and everything, the union of the yarmulke, right? But the tzitzis, yeah, this type of a thing. And Reb Noach is just talking to him, and he sees, Reb Noach saw it. He saw that there was no yarmulke on his head, he saw that the Yeshua that the tzitzis out, and he understood what type of a person this is, who can upshot the tzitzis as yeah, mitzvah, and yarmulke is that important, and these type of things. And Reb Noach spoke to him calmly, reasonably, step by step. It actually came out to be one of those, you know, I'm an atheist type of a thing, and we know how Reb Noach used to love when a guy started off by saying, I'm an atheist. That was really one of her best favorite themes and everything, right? But I'm standing there, just churning inside, and he was mamish so makabel upon him yofes. So the last thing I just want to say is, yeah, again, in Pirkei Avos Taka, yeah, that the Chazal say, yeah, in Pirkei Avos we have, that what's ma'bein talmidim shall Avram Avinu, talmidim shall Bilam Arasha, and there's always the question that's asked, that why not compare Avram to Bilam, why the talmidim? The Teretz is from the talmidim, we see what the Rebbe really was. And as we see what Reb Noach was able to accomplish, one person who was able to cause thousands and tens of thousands of people to be mekarev le'aviyam b'shamayim, then if there's any question whatsoever, the answer is ma'bein talmidim shal Avram Avinu, talmidim shal Bilam. That shows the truth of what it's all about. Bilan Moses Lenetzach, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu should take and have a lot of rachmim on all of the Talmidim, on the Mishpacha and everything, and that we should be zoicha, that he should be talk of the Melech Yosher, which he was always during his life. He should continue doing this fantastic job in the Shemayim. Amen.